It's better to have it off, isn't you? Well, praise God. Should we do a bit of backslapping? And I was listening to you about these. Thank you so much. The working coup for visitors just goes on and on. We've got 220 kids, 16 staff. I don't know, 16 acres of land, something like that. Purpose-built buildings. And your generous contribution, you know, just makes a world of difference. You cannot imagine. We just cannot imagine what it is to live in a different place, really. I think we are so spoilt. You know, you hear people moan about the national health. Well, come with me to Uganda for a little while, and maybe your view will change. And again, you've been with us building the clinic, you know, and thank you for that. It's just been great, and it's an adventure. So, thank you so much, all right? I've done that business. Let's preach, let's pray, let's enjoy the presence of God. Father, you are a good, 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 loving Father. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your graciousness. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for forgiveness. We could go on all day. I suppose the best way we can sum it up is we thank you for Jesus. Help us. Who's old enough to remember? Thank you, God, for sending Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you came. Holy Spirit, help us magnify the Saviour's name. We want to thank you for Jesus. So come, Holy Spirit. You are welcome in this place. Each heart, we pray now, as they are open to you, speak to them. Preacher and hearers need you so much. Unless you bless the deed, we have laboured in vain. So we come to you now in Jesus' name with thanksgiving, and the people of God say, amen. That's good. When's your carol service?
Last week.
Oh, we've been issued a carol service last week. We've got a carol service this week at 5:30. Come on over. It'd be interesting to see how that works out. All right. So who remembers where we are for the last 2 months? Isaiah 35. Verses 8 through 10. And just for the sake of bringing up the title of this series, if you want a title, is The Highway of Holiness. Not a word you hear very often now in some churches. And in other churches, it's got the wrong connotation. The holiness is do's, don'ts, black. Everything's got to be black. That's got to be your favourite colour. Please don't smile, because if you're smiling, you're in sin. You know, you can go to churches like that. But that's got nothing to do with holiness. Holiness, I think, really is us desiring God. And therefore, in whatever area of our life, it affects us. I think that's practical holiness, I think. Otherwise, we end up with do's and don'ts. All right, Isaiah 35, verses 8 through 10, saith, a highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks on that road, even though he's a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed of the Lord shall be there, and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Hang around. Oh, flee away. Flee away. So we've done. Well, we'll get to where we're going. Who knows that we are travellers? not settlers. What is the difference between a traveller and a settler? A traveller knows that he is passing through. Settlers think they're going to stay here forever. Can I tell you something? And I've got to do a funeral in about 8 days' time or something. None of us are going to be here forever. For you young'uns, I've got to tell you a sad fact. That in 90 years' time, you've got an appointment that you cannot get away from if the Lord should tarry. We're all going to go the way of the flesh. Can I just tell you about... What time do you wrap up?
We've got 10 minutes.
All right, that's good. We've had one of the oldest saints from the church die. He died the Saturday before. And we went to see him on the Wednesday or something. That was me probably, is it? And he said, I can see flowers. For days he had been seeing flowers. So then we had to have a little song, didn't we? We had a little sing. Us all must have thought we're crazy. Because we had to have a sing. And then we had a little pray. And then we had another little sing and a few hallelujahs. And it kind of got a bit crazy. But I thought, that's the way to go. We have an appointment. Don't ever forget that. We are not settlers. I think the tendency here is that we put down roots as if we're going to live forever. And we make this far more important than where we are going to live forever. Oh, you know, I'm washing the car. I can't make church. I've heard worse than that over the years. Seek ye. Well done. All right, so we are travellers. We are not settlers. And yet if you look at some Christian life, you would wonder. Oh, I'm tempted some. Because I'm a visitor, I won't say some of the things I might get away with somewhere else. But, oh, I can't afford to. I'm going to say it. I can't afford to tithe, but I can afford to go to Australia on holiday. Where's priorities in that? I'll move on, shall I? 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm lying. Chapter 2, verse 11. Describes us as sojourners and travellers. Or foreigners, aliens. I'll give you the other one if you want to look it up in different translations. Strangers. We are strangers and aliens. We are passing through. Do you know what a sojourner is? Or a sojourner, if you want to say it. Temporary resident. It's someone who's passing through. We need to get through this. Listen to the Message Bible. It says it kind of nice. This world is not our home. So don't get too cozy in it. Whilst I may have problems with the Message, I like that idea. Don't get too cozy. I enjoy the life God gives me here. He gives me all things richly to enjoy. But don't ever forget the priorities. We're strangers and aliens, sojourners, travellers. What about this one? Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 says this. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are people who are going home. For those of you who like Pilgrim's Progress, I'll come back to it. Well, if it's good enough for Spurgeon, Spurgeon reckons he read it 30 times or something, 60 times or something, next to his Bible, his favourite book. We have left the city of destruction. And we're on our way to Emmanuel's land. We are people on a journey. We don't sing old. Who's old enough to remember we're marching to Zion? Yeah, you're giving away your age. You're giving away your age. Yeah. We used to sing songs like, you know, we're going home. Otherwise, that day will take us by surprise. You can breathe in your last breath as long as you like, but eventually it will go. We should be those with our eyes focused on heaven. You're saying that because you're old. No, but heaven becomes realer as you get nearer. I've been like this ever since, you know that. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14 says, here we have no lasting city. These things are all temporal. They will pass away. What is man? He's like a flower. He blossoms in the field, and then the wind blows over it, and he's gone. He's like a vapor. Don't tempt me. It's like a vapor. So there we are. We're on this highway of holiness. We're going home. Down that new and living way that Jesus has opened for us into the very presence of God. Firstly, then, we need to notice this. We're on the way, yeah? Jesus is the way. Remember? John 14 and 6, for those of you who like notes. And he says this. He says, no man comes to the Father, still in John 14, 6. No man comes to the Father except by me. So there is a way that leads to God, and that way is Jesus, and no one can get to God except on that way. Don't you think that's quite narrow, Brother Stroud? Aren't there many ways that lead to God? I'm a good person. I'm a Buddhist. I'm a whatever. Surely, if all these things will get me to God. No. Listen, you Christian people are so narrow in your thinking. I'm sorry, I'm lining you up for what Jesus said. Narrow is the gate that leads to life. Yeah, there is only one mediator between man and God, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. All other ways are deceptive and lies. So let's get it right down, because you'll be bombarded with that one every day at work, aren't you? So it makes us want to shut up, rather than pointing people toward the way. We get embarrassed. Not me, brother. If I don't look at him, he won't make eye contact. We get embarrassed. And we, listen, I want to quickly then. Matthew 7:14 says this, narrow is the gate. I like that. I like it in lots of ways. But it also means you can't carry a load of baggage with you, doesn't it? My son-in-law goes rough camping or whatever he does. Yeah, don't ask me to join him. But he goes off with this kind of great big thing on his... But narrow is the way that leads to life. We can't carry all that baggage with us, our attitude. You don't want me to preach for you today. We can't carry attitudes with us. Did you say that? Yes, I did. There are things that when we become Christian, we have to lay aside, put off the old man, put on the new man, lay aside the weight of sin that so easily ensnares us. The way is narrow. But where's it going? It leads to life. That's the message, my friends. Listen, and whilst we're on this way, we are not alone. Very quickly, Hebrews 13 and 5, Jesus said this. Well, whoever wrote Hebrews said this. Well, it could be Jesus, because he who promised said, I will never leave you or forsake you. I wrote these few ones down this morning, so they're in really small print. What about this one? John 10 and 28. God, how small? Oh, no one can snatch you out of my hand. I'll get to why in a minute. No one can snatch you out of my hand. And of course, my favourite scripture, you've heard me say it again and again here, Isaiah 41 and 13 says this: I will hold your right hand, saying, fear not, I will help you. And whenever I come to that text, no one can snatch you out of your hand, I'll hold your right hand, I still remember me and my dad. So I've got a good memory. We used to go down Petticoat Lane, for those of you who are such a sinner. And, the crowds would be everywhere, pushing, shoving. But as long as Dad had my hand, I knew I was safe. And I want to say to you, Christian person, today, the Lord your God says to you, fear not. For I hold your right hand, saying unto you, I will help. As we're going down this road, we do not go alone, but God goes with us. Can you say amen? Amen. Equally true. In John 14:17, Jesus said this to his disciples, speaking of the Holy Spirit. He has been with you, but he will be... We'll try again. He has been with you, but he will be
in you.
You're old enough to remember. He abides. Hallelujah. He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way. Now the comforter, he abides with me. So I'm walking down this narrow road, but the Holy Spirit is with me. That's why Romans 8. Is it 14? It is. That's why the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Yeah? On board GPS. I was thinking about it today. My car's really old. My wife's car's a bit newer. But neither of them have got this on board GPS thing. You have to do it on your phone with us. I love that idea of just go there. Go there. Especially when it's rather authoritative. Anyway. You've got him. He lives within us. He abides, hallelujah. He abides with me. Right, so he's going to lead us on this highway of holiness. What did we say last time? Well, time before, it's a clean way. It's a highway of holiness, yeah? Secondly, well, that's why it says in the text, nothing unclean shall pass over it. I've not got time to go into all the gift of righteousness and your standing with God and all that. We've done all that last time. Nothing unclean. Next one we did was this. It's a plain way. Even though a fool. You don't have to be clever to be saved. You don't have to be clever. In fact, the less clever you are in some senses, the better. Because we overthink things. And we listen, there's this onboard voice saying, and you will hear a voice behind you. It's Isaiah 54, I think. Saying, turn not to the left. Turn not to the right. This is the way. Walk ye in it. And you know, we have to, now we're going to get to conscience. Do you know you have to say no to conscience to sin? We're on the highway of holiness. This little voice says no. And we say, are you sure? Come on, let's be real. What about me? I've got this issue. I've got this need. I've got this problem. I. No does not mean perhaps. No generally means, are you getting there? I can see a clever organisation. But we have to go against our conscience. God has not left us alone on this highway of holiness. The Holy Spirit speaks to our conscience, our inner man, our recreated man. In terms he can understand, so he can't say, oh, I didn't know. Because he wants us to walk in this way to life. So today, I'm going to... Did someone throw that at me? I've had other things thrown at me, you're all right. Today we want to talk about it being a safe way. No lion or ravenous beast. And that? Yeah. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast go up on it. This all shall be found in it. And of course, as soon as we start talking about lions, everyone wants to go to 1 Peter 5. Be sober, be
vigilant.
Vigilant. I always want to say vigilant. I always get it back to mind. Vigilant. Say that five times, you speak in tongues. Vigilant, vigilant. Be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know that. So now we're talking about lions, and we're talking about this way of holiness, and we're talking about a roaring lion. Well, firstly, we need to decide who our adversary is. The word adversary literally is a legal term, actually. It means one who stands opposed to you. Stands in the way, trying to stop you. It's one who tries to stop you enjoying your rights. Oh, I do my homework occasionally. So we have got an adversary who wants to stop us enjoying this journey home. Yeah? And he roars like a lion. And this is what I wanted to touch on very quickly. He roars. Why is he roaring? Because his claws have been drawn, his teeth have been pulled, but he roars. What does the Bible say? He overcame them. Jesus triumphed over them. There's a victory for the saints of God. But there's this roaring lion who roars loudly, loudly, loudly. That's fine. Unless you want. Oh, you're throwing money at me now. That's better. Well, not coins. There's this roaring lion. And we start listening down to his roars. This symptom, that circumstance, this situation. And we listen to the roars. And we start believing that that is truth. Not realizing that his claws have been pulled and his teeth have been pulled. Let me tell you a story. I like to fish. I'm sorry, it's a confession. And I remember my brother took me years ago to this little pond in the middle of nowhere. I didn't have a car for some reason. And he abandoned me in the middle of this field in this little pond. Nice, I'm enjoying it. All of a sudden, night fishing, all of a sudden, and I thought, what on earth is that? So now we're moving towards the twilight zone. You know, first light, when nothing's quite clear. All of a sudden I get this. And I'm thinking, I've got a big rod dress, I'm going to thump whatever it is. As the light comes up, it's a heron going around looking for its breakfast. And so it's so easy to believe something. That thing struck terror in me. I'm stuck there, I can't go, I ain't got a car. It's so easy to listen to the roaring and not realise what's behind it. What are symptoms? In a way, they're nothing more than roaring. But if you start believing it and start talking it, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And you start calling that which is not as if it were. And you start believing the roar. Does that make sense to somebody? Good. Oh, yeah. Sounds like a lion, done all of that. Let me just remind you of some scripture then, very quickly. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be to God who sometimes leads us in victory. Now, let's be real. Sometimes he leads us in defeat. You need to tell God. He always leads us in victory. Oh, that's not bad. What about this one then? Isaiah 54:17. No weapon. There must be some weapons. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against you shall be condemned. This is the heritage of those who fear me, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. No weapon, other than if you start believing the roaring of the lion. Am I making sense to somebody now? This is a safe way. What about this one? I hear too much of this in Christianity. My Lord. Proverbs 26:2. Like a flitting sparrow and like a flying swallow. No undeserved curse shall alight upon you. How many?
None.
And yet saints walk around, oh, be careful, break curses, this curse is that curse. Do what you like. I'm saved. I'm on the highway of holiness. God has promised to keep me. Amen. I'm not going to walk around, it's the devil. Now, I don't mean I live slack, far from. But it don't even mean I live in fear. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the fire, I'll be with you. And through the flames shall not consume you. When you fire through the river, they'll not overwhelm you. Through the flood shall not get you. God is with me. Hallelujah. If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, persecution, nakedness, famine, you know, all of that lot. We are that. What about this one? Sorry, I will get. He surrounds me in favour with a shield. Hang on, I'm surrounded with favour. What does that mean? It means I'm surrounded with favour. Now, I didn't write the Bible. And I'm sure there's someone here sitting there thinking, well, what about... Once you start on that, once, either it's absolute truth or it's variable. Jesus said in John 17:17, Father, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. Absolute truth. You've got two options, you see. You believe the truth or you believe a lie. You believe the roaring or you believe what God said. And that's the problem, you see, for all of us, that we tend to believe this or that. Right, and our last point. Ready? Not every voice is the Holy Spirit. Oh, God told me to do this. You all right? God told me to do that. Listen, we've got the world has got a voice. Be like us. The flesh, I need. The devil, he speaks to us all the time in somewhere or another, tries to. But you've got that inboard thing called conscience. The voice of God. But just in case you've got deaf, all right. Just in case you've gone deaf. God's given you a map for the highway of holiness. Thy word is truth, absolute truth. Listen to this one. So you hear someone. I've heard some strange stuff in church. You're two nice people. Yeah, you know, you get this sort of, oh, Brother Stroud, I've got a vision. I see a herring And out of his mouth is coming a rose, and it's saying rhubarb. What's the interpretation? You've had too much pizza. You need to go and see the doctor. I mean, only in church can people get away with such bizarre stuff. Truth, isn't it, though? They go, a lot of rubbish. Or someone comes up to me, you know, pastor. Yeah, I've had enough of my wife, but the Lord's told me I can run off with this one. And you say, and they genuinely, we had a woman, ready, runs off one, both in our church, both married to somebody else. They become friends. We're not breaking up two marriages, we're making three. Where's the nearest hospital? She believed it. Why? Because she listens to the voice of the flesh and the voice of the devil and the world. I mean, let's go and get divorced. Everybody's doing it. The voices you listen to will always listen to this. Two last scriptures. Isaiah, this is a good one to remember this. Isaiah 8 and 20. And it says this. It's not one you hear very often. If it does not speak according to the law and to the testimonies, there's no light in it. If it don't go with this, it's not God. And that's why now it's come to my last scripture, and you're going to say, what on earth is he on about? Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 says this. My people are taken through lack of knowledge. Not through lack of sincerity. But if you don't know the truth, you'll fall for a lie. We live in a church age, I'm sorry to say, where this wonderful book in so many places has become redundant. And yet, who would throw a map away? People don't read this book. Too busy. And yet, if you went to the doctors with some terminal illness and he gave you some medication and said, take it five times a day, I guarantee most of us would take it five times a day. God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's given us the title deed. But if we don't know what's ours, we'll believe a lie. We're on a highway of holiness. It's a clean way. It's an easy way. It's a safe way. He's given us the map that we need to walk it. He's given us the onboard GPS to guide us. How blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. Psalm 119 verse 105 says, thy word, it's a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. Shall we pray? Let's stand and pray. If you can. Each one of us have a propensity, that's a nice way to put it, to err, to go off the straight and narrow. But God in his sovereign mercy does not abandon us in our foolishness, but calls us back. With him there is plentiful redemption. His mercies are new every morning. He calls us back and says, this is the way, walk ye in it. And maybe some today have gone astray. Not big time, but you know. Started courting with the world, started playing with the world. Let me remind you, you are a traveller, a sojourner. You're on a journey. May we together be people of this book. Holy Spirit, would you come now and take those words, however falteringly spoken, would you speak to our hearts? Would you stir a love in our hearts for this old book? I have stirred thy word up in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Help us to be people of the book. May our conversations be the conversation of Zion, the people who are the gods. May we help each other as we walk this way. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. And we thank you now. Amen. I think on something like that, you should just turn around to someone standing next to you and say, I want to walk it with you. I want to walk it with you. There you go.
Bless you, brother.
Hang on, I'm going to...